And from Edmonton, Alberta, and a CD called Pachatke, or Beginnings, that was Trubka with Dume Moi, My Thoughts. And that is the words of Taras Shevchenko as we continue our month-long tribute to the Ukrainian bard. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос». Говорить Павліна Макуарій. Дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there, and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Paulette Demchuk-McQuarrie, your host. Thank you for joining me, whether you're a first-time or long-time listener, tuning in on AM, FM, or shortwave radio, on your mobile phone, streaming, or time-shifting via podcast. A very warm welcome to you. Vitayu. We have a wonderful program lined up for you. On Ukrainian Food Flair, Sylvia Pitrasyuk-Molnar joins us with a recipe for a delicious dessert. Keith is still away this week, so there's no Ukraine News Outlook, but Irena Bell from the Ukrainian Hour in Ottawa will be joining us again with another Chisna Leve Did You Know feature, and this is about a very well-known Ukrainian symbol. As well, we'll be bringing Marcia Forchuk-Skripik back to talk about another book that she's just released called Last Airlift, A Vietnamese Orphan's Rescue from War, which has an interesting Ukrainian connection. So stay tuned for that. We'll also have our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and plenty of more of great Ukrainian music. And coming up next from Poland, a group called Berkut, and an original composition, but it is on a theme that Shevchenko certainly knew well, wrote a lot about. The song is called Ждала Мати Сина, about a mother who sends her son off to war, waits for him to return, and he never does. Here is Berkut now with Ждала Мати Сина.
Ждала мати сина, і з походу ждала давно, давно. Перший рік минає, другий рік чекає письмо. Вже давно вернулись товариші його до хат, до хат. А в рідної неньки очі вже від сльозів болять, болять. Пролетіло літечко, знову їх чекає вона. А від сина свісточки, а листа від сина нема. Десять літ минуло, якби вчора була весна. Ждала мати сина, а його з походу нема, нема. Вже наступне літечко, знову рік чекає вона. А від сина свісточки, а листа від сина нема. ciężko, znowu ich czeka je wona. A być syna z listoczki, a lista być syna nie ma. Że następne liteczko, znowu ich czeka je wona. A być syna z listoczki, a lista być syna nie ma.
You can now hear programs from PCJ Radio while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. It's free and just takes a few seconds. Then during registration, hit the promo code box and enter PCJ to get automatically entered to win $100. For more information, go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on their Stitcher logo on the right menu. PCJ Radio on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio.
American singer from Turnbull, Connecticut, that was Olya Fritz with a traditional Ukrainian folk song, Oy Helya Helya, a song about a young girl gathering geese. We're going to pick up the pace a little bit now, so strap on your dancing boots. We've got UB coming up next from Edmonton from their first CD called Hardwood Harmonics. Here they are now with Zadunayim, Beyond the Danube. Thank you.
Dunajem, za Dunajem, tam muzeka hrala, tam te chlopci molodo osobi spodobala.
Nijanička i Pavlička, ja nija ne skoču, a za to Nikolička Dunaj preskoču. Nijanička i Pavlička, ja nija ne skoču, a za to Nikolička Dunaj preskoču.
Napleteš te kosi ridno brovi, vid maluješ, molodo Nikolička sobi prečaruješ.
Nijanička i Pavlička, ja nija ne skoču, a za to Nikolička Dunaj preskoču. Nijanička i Pavlička, ja nija ne skoču, a za to Nikolička Dunaj preskoču.
Zahraj stajam od okola, štob da mene zadivi vse čarivne kola.
Nijanička ni Pavlička, ja nija ne skoču, aj za to Nikolička Dunaj preskoču. Nijanička ni Pavlička, ja nija ne skoču, aj za to Nikolička Dunaj preskoču.
Za Dunajem ta muzeka hrala, tam te chlapce molodo osobi spodobala.
Nijanička ni Pavlička, ja nija ne skoču, a za to Nikolička Dunaj preskoču. Nijanička ni Pavlička, ja nija ne skoču, a za to Nikolička Dunaj preskoču.
And now, Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello! Get your pencils ready, as I have a special dessert Mom used to make for us. It only has 5 ingredients and is absolutely delicious. It's called Lena's Prune Puff. It's very easy to prepare, so I hope you'll try it. You'll need the following ingredients. 1 cup cooked prune pulp, or dried plums, as they would say today, to be food correct. 1 tablespoon lemon juice, 4 eggs separated, 1/4 cup sugar, and a pinch of salt. You can buy beautiful pitted prunes nowadays, so go for the large variety. Cook them in some water until they become soft and puffy. Press the prunes through a sieve and mix with the lemon juice, or use the food processor to do this. Beat the egg whites until stiff and the egg yolks until fluffy. Add the sugar and salt to the yolks gradually and continue beating. Combine the prune pulp with the yolk mixture. Now fold in the egg whites. Spoon the mixture into a buttered baking dish and then set the dish in a pan of hot water. This will ensure even baking. Bake at 350 degrees for about 45 minutes or until center is firm when touched with a finger. Serves about 4 or 5. We always ate this plain, but it's nice garnished with toasted almonds or drizzled with custard sauce. Try it. It's Ukrainian.
Thanks, Sylvia, for sharing your Ukrainian culinary expertise on Ukrainian Food Flair here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. You're listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio. England, the unmistakable sound of the Ukrainians, and a song called Dodomu, Homeward Bound, from their CD, their most recent CD, Diaspora. Up next is a singer from Ukraine by the name of Oksana Mucha from a CD called Reshato, and here she is now with Techa Voda Kalamutna, Muddy Waters Flowing.
Вода каламутна, чогось моя мила смутна. Я не смутна, лен сердита, бо я зночі була бита. Я не смутна, лен сердита, бо я зночі була бита. Вікарі очі, ще й казала буде бити, щоб Іванка не любити, ще й казала буде бити, щоб Іванка не любити.
Чуєш, казала, казала буде бити, щоб Іванка, Іванка не любити. Чуєш, казала, казала буде бити, щоб Іванка, Іванка не любити.
А я Іванка так любую, де не стріну, там цілую. Ох, Іванку, серце моє, нема таких, як ми двоє. Ох, Іванку, серце моє, нема таких, як ми двоє.
Тече вода коло села, а ні
Іванко.
Тече вода колом, ти на мацю моя, я не видна, бо ми такі паровані, як горнятка малювані.
Тече вода кала мурна, чогось моя мила смутна, я не смутна, але сердита, бо ясно чи була бита.
This is Irina Bell, producer and host of the Ukrainian Hour on Chin Radio in Ottawa, with a Did You Know Chiznalivi segment, and special greetings to the listeners of Nash Holos. Did you know that the trident symbol, as featured in the current Ukrainian coat of arms, is more than 1,000 years old? While signing a treaty with Byzantium, the ambassadors of the Kievan prince Ihor in the 10th century used the trident in their seals. The trident or trizub was stamped on the gold and silver coins issued in the 10th and 11th centuries by Prince Volodymyr the Great. During the Kievan Rus period, the trident or trizub was also found on the bricks of various churches, castles and palaces, and on ceramics, weapons, rings, medallions, seals, and manuscripts. Almost 200 variations of the trizub from medieval times have been discovered in Ukraine. In December 1917, the trident was adopted as a symbol of the Free Ukrainian People's Republic. Officially discredited in Ukraine under the Soviets, the trident, nevertheless, remained the symbol of the National Liberation Movement. The Verkhovna Rada, or Ukrainian Parliament, on February 1992 approved the trizub, or trident, as the small state coat of arms. It appears on the presidential standard of Ukraine.
Дуже дякую, Ірино. Many thanks to Irina Bell of the Ukrainian radio program in Ottawa for sharing Chiznalive, Did You Know, with Nash Holos listeners. You can catch her show Sundays at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is, of course, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, streaming live at www.chinradioottawa.com.
And up next is a singer from Ukraine who goes by the name of Hutsol Hooligan. And he was actually in Vancouver in 2010 during the Winter Olympics at the Ukraine House during a fundraising ball. And he was one of the featured performers. Here he is now from one of the CDs I picked up at that performance. This song is called Teplay Dosht, which means warm rain. And given his style of political satire in song, brace yourself for a whole bunch of double meanings. But whether or not you understand the lyrics, if you're Ukrainian impaired, you can still enjoy the music. Here he is now, Hutsol Hooligan with Teplay Dosht.
Теплий дощ валить по стріші, по загаті і по дервах. А я стою в бальоновім плащі. Мокнуть мешта, мокнуть сподні, зашмальцьовані шкарпетки. А я стою в бальоновім плащі. Теплий дощ, теплий дощ. дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, валить по стрісі. Теплий дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, валить по стрісі. Я би хотів ти подзвонити, як і швар, як прав телефон. А я стою в бальоновім плащі. Я би вжив його за ноги, добре пальнув до дороги, аж би з нього повилазили мозги. Теплий дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, валить по стрісі. Теплий дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, валить по стрісі. Заду підвалила і долонніма закрила шліпаки. Я би взяв за ті долоні, притулив бим їх до варків, цілював бим цілу ніч. Теплий дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, валить по стрісі. Теплий дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, теплий дощ, валить по стрісі.
We spoke with Ukrainian-Canadian author Marcia Forchuk-Skripik about her children's novel Making Bombs for Hitler, which is a companion novel to Stolen Child, which was released in 2010. Now, a very busy and in-demand writer, Marcia was almost at the same time writing another book called Last Airlift, A Vietnamese Orphan's Rescue from War. Marcia very kindly shared some details of that book as well for the benefit of listeners of Nash Holos.
Now, your recent book, just before we started the interview, said you were working on a sequel or perhaps companion novel to your most recent book called Airlift,
yeah.
which is a little bit different. It's sort of got a Ukrainian connection, but it's not really necessarily a Ukrainian theme.
Well, that one is called Last Airlift, A Vietnamese Orphan's Rescue from War. Mm-hmm. And the orphan in question, her name is Tuyet, and she's now married to a Ukrainian, so her last name is Yushchishin.
Oh, wow.
But this is her story when she was 8 years old, and it takes place in 1975 when she was in the last rescue airlift, which is also known as baby lift, from mm-hmm. Saigon. And she came to my hometown of Brantford, Ontario, and she actually went to the same school that my son went to, and her kids now go to that same school, and I used to live around the corner from her, but I didn't know her until I was trying to find the oldest orphan on that flight, and she just happened to be that one, and then we had all the personal connections like that. So the book that I'm writing after that, I guess it could be a sequel, but again, I'm writing it in a way that is a standalone as well, but it's chronologically the sequel to this book, because she came to Canada as an 8-year-old orphan with who had suffered polio, so she had one leg that didn't work. Mm-hmm. And so the first story is about her rescue and how she didn't know that she was going to be adopted. She thought she was being brought over basically as a child servant. And so her whole understanding of what a family is, and that she's like being loved for yourself, not for being able to perform tasks. And so that's what that first book was about. And also, like, you know, just the shock and the scariness of being whisked away from the only home that you've known and flying to a different one. But this new book is about once she gets here, the very first thing that her adoptive parents have to do is arrange surgery on her leg, because she's already 8 years old and there's only a limited amount of time that you can do any kind of recovery or anything so that she could walk, actually, right, with her leg. And so her biggest fear before was that she would be taken to the hospital and have her leg cut open. So she's here, and then within a couple of weeks of getting here, she has to confront her biggest fears and not speak the language.
Wow.
So it's about her first few months here and, you know, the way that she is able to deal with it. And it took a tremendous amount of bravery on her part and also compassion on her parents' part to be able to get her what she needed, even though they didn't speak the same language. So I just finished writing the first draft of that on Friday. So I'm doing the revisions of it right now.
Wow. Is it a true story then, or is it a novel?
Yes, it is. It's my first nonfiction.
Oh, wow.
So it's called Narrative Nonfiction.
Ah.
So it reads like a novel, but mm-hmm. every single thing is true.
Wow.
And so it makes it in some ways harder, in some ways easier. Like you can't pull truths from this person and that person and create a character. The character is already living and walking. So
right.
everything that is in that has to be true to that character. But, you know, the thing is that this particular girl has blocked out a lot of her memories. And so what I had to do with both books is still interview other people about what happened and then write it from her point of view. And then so what I'm doing this week is I'm reading the entire thing to her, like sentence by sentence, as I sit in front of her with my laptop, because I find that by doing that, after I've researched it other ways, then she can tell me what I've got wrong. But she can't remember it on her own.
Oh, really? Wow. Wow.
It's because, like, you know, it was a very traumatic time.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of trauma. You've taken these really, really troubling times of you know, people suffering, and you've managed, in the words of one reviewer, to use take horrific topics in history, but depict them in a gentle and illuminating way.
Well, I mean, what they're living through is still horrific. But it's how, it's the reaction of the people who are living through it that is illuminating. And basically, I think what I always try to do is to make the reader feel that they're that person.
Yeah, yeah.
And by doing that, then they have more sensitivity when they meet people like this. Just as an example, Tuyet, who I'm writing this book about now, I mean, in the 1970s, there were not a lot of visible minority immigrants in Canada. So you might see this little girl who's got a limp or is walking on crutches or whatever, and she looked, you know, people would think she was Chinese, right? They might not even necessarily know what Vietnamese meant, especially
mm-hmm.
a child.
Mm-hmm.
So they would look away and think again. They'd simply look away.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm doing is forcing the person not only to look right directly at her, but to feel like it would be to be that girl and to have all those challenges and to realize the sheer gut and will and strength of character that Tuyet had to get through what she had to do. You know, it's instead of looking at them from a distance and judging, you're stepping inside and walking in their shoes for a little bit you know, in the one case it's no shoes, in the other case, in Tuyet's shoes, it's one shoe and then one foot not even touching the ground. But, you know, if you can do that, then it just makes people more tolerant of differences and also appreciative of what they have, but also, you know, really thankful that they were able to walk in someone else's shoes for a while, because then they understand that person a little bit more.
It's very inspiring. All your books, one way or another, they are intertwined, and they are all uplifting and inspiring. And even though there are, some of them are children's books, it's a lot easier to read a children's book. It doesn't, it's not juvenile by any means. The writing style is great. I didn't feel in the least that I'm reading, you know, something from like a kid's textbook or something from grade four.
Well, the readership for children's novels is probably about 50% adult in any case. Like, just because it's something as old as children's literature doesn't mean that that's the people who read it. You know, there's huge numbers of adults who read children's literature, and the reason is they know that quality is going to be there. And a lot of adult fiction, it's like, you know, you've got your literary fiction, and then you've got your commercial fiction. And a lot of the commercial fiction is written pretty much to throw away.
Yeah.
And so if someone wants to read something that is, they can read in a night or two, but is not throwaway literature, then they're much better off reading a children's book, because it will stick to them for the rest of their lives in many cases. But it's not going to take a huge time commitment. I prefer to read children's books myself for that reason, because like they're just so meaningful, but also short. And also, like adult fiction, a lot of times will have many intertwining stories, especially if you get something that's historical fiction, which is what I really like. So, you know, you're reading a 1,000-page book, right? That's a lot of a commitment. And if you're traveling or something, that's a big thing to carry around.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're reading historical fiction that's geared towards children, you can read one and you can, like, set it aside and pick up another one. It's a different format, and it's hits you in a different part of the brain. I guess, like, you look at commercial fiction for adults more as candy, whereas you know, this is meatier.
Yeah,
meatier.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there was so much that I learned here. Certainly, after reading your books, I consider myself, just from reading these rather than doing the amount of research that you did, that I know a lot more certainly than when I started out, and a lot more than people that haven't read those books.
The other thing too is that when you're writing for kids, you have to be really careful to make sure that every single paragraph is written so tightly. And it takes a lot more time to write short than it does long.
Yeah.
But, like, for adults, you know, you might get to page 75 and still not be engaged in the story.
Yeah.
So you can have 75 pages of beginning, right?
Yeah.
But with a kid's book, if you're not gripped by the very first sentence, you're not, they're put it down.
Yeah.
Like, kids have incredibly honed twit filters.
I really do.
Yeah.
Well, this is, like I said, a wonderful book, and I recommend to anybody listening to this interview, if you haven't read this book or any of Marcia's books, definitely do start now.
And again, we're talking about Last Airlift, A Vietnamese Orphan's Rescue from War, and that is the most recent book of author Marcia Forchuk-Skripik, who we were just speaking with. And this book is available through her website, online booksellers, and you can find information about Marcia and her books at her website, www.kala.com. And if you go to the Nash Holos website, you'll find links to all that information. And that, of course, is www.nashholos.com. You're listening to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio.
Wow. Ой, не ходи, ходи, Орисю, на гору на лиску. Не ходи, ходи, Орисю, а грай на сопілиці. Ой, гойдріці, дріці, ой, гойдріці, дріці. Не ходи на лису гору, а грай на сопілиці. Ой, гойдріці, дріці, ой, гойдріці, дріці. Не ходи на лису гору, а грай на сопілиці. Бо на горі на листі туман над ярами. Бо на горі на листі чорти з відьмаками. Ой, гойдріці, дріці, ой, гойдріці, дріці. Там шугає така нечисть, що гріхи дивитись. Ой, гойдріці, дріці, ой, гойдріці, дріці. Там шугає така нечисть, що гріхи дивитись. Чорта роги, круто роги, очі як лещата. Жінка в нього чорна жаба, бридка та вусата. Ой, гойдріці, дріці, ой, гойдріці, дріці. От такі жінки в тим царстві гвайні молодиці. Ой, гойдріці, дріці, ой, гойдріці, дріці. От такі жінки в тім царстві гвайні молодиці. Чорт зубатий та багатий хоч кльову дівку. Може їй платити златом та водить до шинку. Ой, гойдріці, дріці, ой, гойдріці, дріці. Не ходи, Орись, на гору, а чекай на приниця. Ой, гойдріці, дріці, ой, гойдріці, дріці. Не ходи, Орись, на гору, а чекай на принця. Лай, лай, ла, 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 лай, лай, ла, 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 ла,
And that was Mandrev from Ukraine from their CD Lehenda Pro Ivanka ta Udarku, The Legend of John and Audrey, and that song was Orisya. Up next is a very talented young singer from Ukraine by the name of Sofia Fedina, and here she is now from a CD of Postansky's Pisni, and this is songs from the era between World War One to just after World War Two, when Ukraine was fighting desperately for independence and unfortunately lost that battle at that time. However, the songs certainly were very patriotic, and I think that had the bard Taras Shevchenko been alive at this during this era, he certainly would have been able to relate to this song. It's called Chuyish Surme Hrayut. Listen, the trumpets are sounding.
Чуєш, сурми грають, юнаків скликають. Уряди збирають, буде бій, звіщають, гей! Націоналісти, раз, два, молоді орлята, хлопці, хлопці, соколята. Націоналісти, раз, два, молоді орлята, хлопці, хлопці, соколята. Україна, мати, кличе нас повстати, одностайно стати в бою погуляти, гей! Націоналісти, раз-два,
раз-два!
Молоді орлята, хлопці, хлопці, соколята. Націоналісти, раз-два,
раз-два!
Молоді орлята, хлопці, хлопці, соколята. Не будемо спати, плакати, ридати, день помсти, розплати будем готувати, гей! Націоналісти, раз-два,
раз-два!
Молоді орлята, хлопці, хлопці, соколята. Націоналісти, раз-два,
раз-два!
Молоді орлята, хлопці, хлопці, соколята. За нашу свободу, за красу і вроду,
підем вогонь, воду для свого народу. Гей! Націоналісти, раз-два,
раз-два.
Молоді орлята, хлопці, хлопці і дівчата. Націоналісти, раз-два,
раз-два.
Молоді орлята, хлопці, хлопці і дівчата. Не сумуй, родино,
сумуй, не сумуй.
Не тужи, дівчино,
тужи, не тужи.
Кличе Україна, наша батьківщина. Гей! Націоналісти, раз-два,
раз-два.
Молоді орлята, хлопці, хлопці, соколята. Націоналісти, раз-два,
раз-два.
Молоді орлята, хлопці, хлопці, соколята. Націоналісти, раз-два,
націоналісти.
Молоді орлята, хлопці, хлопці, соколята. Соколята, соколята.
For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. AM 1320 on the radio dial in Vancouver and online at am1320.com. Elsewhere, Nash Holos airs on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM, and shortwave radio around the world. Online, you can find us at www.nashholos.com, at www.pcjmedia.com on the Nash Holos page there, as well as on iTunes. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму. Пора нам прощатися на ще один тиждень, бо вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед закінченням я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Насел вовк, понесуть і вовка. And our proverb of the week translates as, the wolf preyed on others, others will prey on him. And that's spelled P-R-E-Y, not P-R-A-Y. And maybe if you think about it, if it was spelled the other way around, things might turn out better for the wolf and everyone else involved. But that's another story. Our time is just about up now for another program here on Nash Holos. So to wrap it up, we've got the Playboy Band from Edmonton, Alberta, and the story of Juba. I'm Paulette Demchik-McQuarrie. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Till next time, do pobaczenia.
Чубова добрала, косак собі заспівав, чуба заплакала. Лето, люба моя, люба, поки я з тобою, як поїду в Україну, заплачу за мною. Хмари йде, дощик буде, ходім не пихати, а то будем чуби любим собі розмовляти. Я чубі любив, а я свої чубі любі чоровички купив. We'll be right back. Божий милосердний, як дітю піхоче.